It is the pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game as the Titans get set to take on the Cincinnati Bengals, joined today here again live at Teddy's Tavern by former Titans receiver Chris Sanders.
Man, how you doing, man? You doing all right?
Well, after last Sunday, I'm
I'm
doing ahead of today's Bengals game. Derek Mason, former Titans receiver as well, is here with us.
What's going on? I mean, it's another tough week for the Tennessee Titans, man.
Let's start off the top.
Yeah.
I understand it's a week-to-week league. I understand everything is, you know, one game that has nothing to do with the next game, has nothing to do with the next week, has nothing to do. Sunday against the Browns was incredibly eye-opening for the Titans, and they need a get-right game today.
Yeah, they do. They need to, you know, we all have the 24-hour rule in sports. You know, once it's done, you got 24 hours to, you know, get vent and you know, rehash the game. But then after that, you got to move on. And they're facing a Cincinnati team who has been struggling from an offensive standpoint. Their defense is playing okay. Not great, but okay. But their offense is what's been lacking. And that's a surprise for the Cincinnati fan base. But we all know why this offense is struggling, because the quarterback and his calf muscle. Yeah. So let's just hope it's not a get-right game like last week was for Deshaun Watson. Let's just hope this defense can put enough pressure on the quarterback to where we keep him in the situation that he's in.
So
floating balls.
It's not a get-right game for the Bengals. You hope it's a get-right game for the
Exactly. Titans. Absolutely.
You know, just kind of look at the whole situation. I'm going to kind of switch the cuff a little bit. I'm concerned about Tannehill. Tannehill is getting hit a lot.
I mean, what's wrong with Tannehill?
No, I mean, nothing's wrong with him. I know everybody's talking about the offensive line, but he's consistently getting hit. If you look at last week, I mean, he got hit, what, like 8 to 13 times. So if you're a quarterback, you're going to have to stay upright, and then the offensive line is going to have to protect him. And I'm going to give you a stat that's going to really blow your mind. They had, and I'm taking this from TD. TD said this on the radio last week. They had 24 plays with zero yards or negative yards. I mean, that just shows you that the offensive line is struggling, and they're going to have to figure it out quick. And just like what you guys are talking about, you know, the Cincinnati Bengals have been struggling with the same thing with the Titans, the offensive line. But we don't want them to come back and have a good game, because we definitely need the Titans to play better.
And let's not kid ourselves right now. At 1-2, the season, it's a very, very long season.
Right.
But the facts are, since the NFL has expanded to 7 teams per conference – if you start off 1-2, you've got about a 30% chance of making the playoffs. If you go to 1-3, both teams are 1-2 today. If you go to 1-3, you've got a 16% chance of making the playoffs, and no team that has started 1-3 in the last 3 years has made it past the wild card round of the playoffs. Not to sit here and say that we should be thinking about AFC championship games or divisional rounds of the playoffs, or I just hope they can get a drive without getting the quarterback sacked right now. But, I mean, nobody wants to be 1-3.
No, they don't. You don't want to dig yourself in you know, that deep of a hole. Now, it's not that deep to where you can't climb out of it, especially in AFC South, where, you know, the division leader right now is a young team that seems good, but they got a young quarterback in the Indianapolis Colts that they don't have their running back in Jonathan Taylor still. So with this, you know, do you want to go down 1-3? No. But I think this is one – this division, meaning AFC South, is one of those divisions where even if you go down 1-3, there's no need to panic.
Well, Jacksonville's up 17-0 on
right now. Yeah, they're up 17-0. So, you know, if they can get their victory, they would be, what, 2-1?
Maybe
2-2. 2-2. Even if you – fall 1-3. The good part about it is, I hope they don't, but the good part about it is, one, this division doesn't seem like it's, you know, a tough division to win. And then two, you haven't played a division game yet. So even though you're down a game or two, we still haven't gotten the division play, meaning the Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I don't want this to become a mental thing. I mean, you remember when we played in those Houston Oilers days? We weren't sure if we could win. And you don't want this to happen with the Tennessee Titans team. They got a good defense, they got some good players. But at the end of the day, if you don't feel like you can win, then the doubt starts to seep in, then the finger pointing, all those things start to set in. So they got to figure out a way to win this game. I mean, I know defense is struggling a little bit up front in the back end. I mean, they're just giving up so many explosive plays. But somebody's got to step up and make a play. Somebody's got to say enough is enough. I know Mike Vrabel and everybody's talking about that, you know, wash it away and put it in the back of your mind. But if you start 1-3, that's when the doubt starts to set in.
Well, and I think, too, you know, from a fan perspective, fairly or unfairly, I do think these Titan fans are starting to get a little restless. You know, the expectations of the last couple of seasons by making it to the playoffs, winning the division, having the number one seed, and then last year the collapse at the end of the year. This year, it seems like a lot of the problems that the Titans had last year are still problems that they have this year. And I do think the fans are getting a little restless. And sometimes when things aren't going right, the last place you want to be is at home.
Yeah.
And it does kind of feel like, you know, more of a microscope is under Mike Vrabel at this point.
Yeah, but I think, too, is, and me and Derek was talking about this off the air, is you can't just blame the quarterback. I mean, everybody wants to say, oh, it's Tannehill's fault. He can't play. Put Malik Willis in. But, I mean, that's not going to solve
well,
it.
Well, I actually think this is the opposite of Tannehill.
That's what I'm saying. But when you talk to people and you talk to different fans and you listen to different radio stations, they're like, get rid of Tannehill. I mean, it's not just getting rid of Tannehill. You got to fix the problems on the offensive line. You got Brunskill. You got Dillard that's giving up 6 sacks, you know, in the last 3 games. And then overall, the whole offensive line is giving up 13 sacks. So they got to figure out the offensive line situation. Then also, they got to figure out the wide receiver position. You got Burks is out that has been inconsistent. He made one play against the Los Angeles Chargers. And I think last week he was 1-for-5. So if you don't have your receiver stepping up, your offensive line isn't playing and not communicating and giving up, you know, hits on Tannehill, what do you do?
It's not much. I mean, much you can do at this point. You just hope that the offensive line gets better as they continue to play. Obviously, you'll get Nicholas back sooner than you thought because the NFL revised their gambling, which I knew they were going to do, but they revised their gambling policy in regards to, you know, players and gambling on certain things. But they get Nicholas back, so hopefully once they get him back, maybe they shuffle the offensive line around a little bit, but they have to get better. But in regards to Vrabel, I mean, if they go down 1-3, I mean, we got to start looking at the head coach. We do. Now, again, he's not, to me, he doesn't deserve to be fired, but we have to start looking at, you know, what is really going on with this roster, especially over the last 2 years. What is going on? We praised Vrabel so much about how he took, you know, guys, as, you know, many people coined them, off the streets and got them in here and look how they're playing. You know, they have these many people, you know, injured, and he still got them, you know, the first seed. He still got them in the playoffs. Well, we congratulate him and we pat him on the back for that. But then once he gets back in that same situation, oh, it's not his fault anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, we got to be fair. We got to be balanced with this. If you praise him for getting the most out of individuals, then you also got to criticize him that he's not getting the most out of individuals. So if they go down 1-3, depending on how they lose this game, then, yeah, we need to start to talk about, you know, what's really going on with this coaching staff.
Yeah, just looking at the offensive coordinator, you know, in the situation with Todd Downing, everybody was criticizing him. Do we give Tim Kelly a pass? You see what I'm saying? So do we give him a pass for, like, okay, the offensive line is bad, this and that? But do you start looking at the offensive coordinator because of the play calling and what's happening on the offense?
Well, and two, the other thing, and so I don't necessarily think this is fair, but Vrabel replaced 3 coaches, right, to start at the Super Bowl. You know, Vrabel announced the coaching staff, and he replaced the offensive coordinator with a guy internally. He replaced the offensive line coach with a guy internally, and he replaced the defensive backs coach with a guy externally in Chris Harris. And right now the Titans are still having problems with the play calling, the offensive line, and the defensive backs. Now, I think it's early in a season, so, like, how much can we look at the DB coach and say, hey, at 3 games in, giving up all these big plays, you must stink, you know? And then how much of it is, no, like, you brought in a DB coach to take your 32nd ranked passing defense and make them better, and he hasn't done that. And that's where I am kind of, like, I'm not necessarily furious that Vrabel promoted the offensive line coach, but I was not inspired by that hire, and I certainly have not seen anything right now that inspires me. So I don't know how much of the blame we should be pointing at Vrabel for that, particularly through only 3 games. And you brought up Tim Kelly, and I, you know, took it a step further with the whole coaching staff.
I mean, the moves that Vrabel has made, and, you know, yes, those particular positions, aren't doing well, whether it's the defensive backs, the offensive line. I think the play calling has been what it is. I think at times it's been pretty good, and at times you sort of like, why did you call that play? But we got to understand, too, Tim Kelly can only work with what he has.
So I actually think it's more extreme than that. I think some of the things that Tim Kelly has done so far this season have been brilliant.
Uh-huh.
I mean, I think that some of the, you know, the getting Chigakonkwos wide open in the Saints game and Tannehill missed him, I thought that was brilliant. I thought some of those play calls against the Chargers were fabulous. And then I think some of the things they're doing on offense are just downright incompetence.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're going out there against the Cleveland Browns, and you've got a second down at the 37, and you're right on the fringe of field goal range, and you run in an obvious run set with Wesco and Okonkwo and Moore and Westbrook Akine and Henry,
Jackie Harris.
He gets hit in the backfield and loses 2 yards. Like, dude, you can't – against that front, and the Bengals front may be similar, you can't run out of a run set because you can't block them. So what you have to do is you have to run out of pass sets. You have to pass out of run sets. You can't. And so, again, you know, and then we can go back to that last play before the half.
Well, I don't think that was his fault. That last play before the half, if you look at that.
It's kind of frameless.
And you know, I've said this when it happened. I said it the day after. Spears was supposed to tip that guy. Spears coming out the backfield. You came out. I could see if you went out the other side. You went out the exact same side that Miles Davis, Miles Davis.
Let me sing to you.
Miles Garrett. Miles Garrett. You went out the same side that Miles Garrett was on. You went out and you just went by him. Your main objective, your first responsibility coming out the backfield is to chip that guy and then get in your route because you're not the first look on that route. You're like the second or third look, so chip them, come out. But even with that, I do believe Tim Kelly has done a good job. Now, the offensive, the pieces that he has, some of them haven't shown up, Chigakonkwo, Treylon Burks, and some are who they are, and we were hoping they were who they used to be, D-Hop. D-Hop is who
fine.
He is. No. What
he's
I'm saying
fine.
Is this. He is who he is. He doesn't threaten you down the field. What I call him doing, and I called this earlier, he'll get you 12 catches if you want 12 catches. D-Hop will get you that.
Sure.
The catches that he has made, I think it's been 14 of them. Less than half have been meaningful catches. And when I say meaningful catches, I mean catches that has caused touchdowns or points to be scored or critical drives. I can name at least only 3 or 4 that he's caught that have been critical catches. They're going to give him the little 5 yarders, sit down, fall on the ground, catch it. They're going to give him that stuff. What he's not doing, and I think what the Titans expected him to do, and it is probably not his fault, he's not affecting what they do down the field. No one's.
But was that ever his game?
Yes.
That's earlier. Absolutely. That was his game. He was never fast, but he still can get down the field.
I mean, against Cleveland, again, in that 2-minute drill, Tannehill is basically 1-2 ball out throwing those fade routes because there's nothing else they could throw. D-Hop was moving the football.
But in 2 minutes, they play it a little bit different than when it's not 2 minutes.
Sure.
So, again.
But it those may were not, difficult catches. It and may not, D-Hop didn't get the feet in on the first one. He did on the second one.
No, but what I'm saying is this. He hasn't done – this offense is still a bad offense, even with him in it. It's still a bad offense.
Well, I mean,
it's still
a bad
passing game.
You put Tyreek Hill in there.
You put Tyreek Hill in there, then the defense
got
to back up.
They got
Tyreek
you.
Yeah, defense – see, you have no legitimate speed
no
on
that
team. And
did
you notice that the Texans, when they were good with DeAndre Hopkins – they had Will Fuller on.
Yeah, they had Will Fuller, yeah.
And the Titans want Burks to be that. Burks does not – first of all, Burks is a 4.55, which is not bad, but that's not Will Fuller. I mean, Will Fuller is a world-class track athlete. The other thing is – and Burks is out today.
Yeah.
He got to catch a ball.
Yeah, too.
I mean, there's you guys have lived this life. Mm-hmm. I mean, I'm sure you can sympathize and empathize with him.
Yeah, I mean, he's gonna have
3 drops so far, 3 massive drops so far this season. You can't. What are you doing? Chig drops a ball on third down. what are we doing here?
Let me ask you a question and see if you can answer this, because all the stuff we're talking about, the offense. In 1999, we knew the identity of our team. Mm-hmm. We knew that it was Eddie George, J.D. George get the ball, and we'd catch the ball once in a while.
Once, maybe twice.
We got two attempts. We was excited. We knew the identity of our team. Mm-hmm. Let me ask you a question. What's the identity of this Tennessee Titans team on offense?
I think they still want to run the football.
But see, now they're throwing the ball more than everybody says run it. Then when they run it, they need to pass it. So, you know, what?
Well, I mean, here's what the other thing, too, about the identity, to your point, uh-huh. about, like, I think they want to run the football. Well, if you want to run the football, why did you go out and get a left tackle that can't run block and a center that can't
run
block?
That's what I'm saying.
Well, I mean, that's a question that, you know, Vrabel needs to answer.
Like, if your identity is to stay ground and pound, play defense, then you made an excellent pick in the first round for what your identity is, because Skoronski mm-hmm. is that.
Oh, no. But here's the thing. This team, and even, let's just say Dillard, because we're concentrating on Dillard, because you said they bring him in a center and the left tackle. If you want to be a run team, you bring in someone else. Well, Dillard is he's better run blocking for them than he is pass blocking. He's horrible at pass blocking, but at run block, he's a lot better because he get the combo with that guard. Mm-hmm. Now they get to push, or that guard's pulling, and he's blocking down. He's done a good job run blocking. He can't pass block to save his life.
No.
And that was supposed to be his strength coming out of college.
What's crazy is I watched the tape of him when they signed him, and he started six games in 2021. They mm-hmm. moved Jordan Mile out of the left tackle to right tackle when Lane Johnson got hurt. And I know what the Titans signed him off of. It was one game against the Dallas Cowboys where he kept Micah Parsons mm-hmm. in front of him for the entire game. And I'm trying to figure out where that is right now, because mm-hmm. you're right, he can't pass block to save his life. Let's hit the big four topics of the game on the other side. We'll move the chains. We'll do that again. We are live from Teddy's Tavern right across the street from Bridgestone Arena. This will be our spot for all home games this year out here at Teddy's Tavern. Teddy's Tavern brunch and specialty Titans cocktails are available every Sunday from open until 2 o'clock. 2-for-1 mimosas and Bloody Marys from open until 2 p.m. every Sunday. And 2-for-1 draft beer all day every Sunday. If you're looking for a spot to tailgate on your way into the stadium, Teddy's Tavern right here is the place to be. Home of the early and late happy hour every Sunday through Thursday from 4 to 6:30 and 10 o'clock to close. And they say they've got the best burger downtown. Just steps away from Bridgestone Arena across the street from the plaza. It's Teddy's Tavern. Catch the Titans and the Bengals and all the other games today from Teddy's Tavern, the second floor lounge and rooftop. It's the pregame show, the award-winning pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Live from Teddy's Tavern out here again right across the street from Bridgestone Arena, your home before the Titans game, after the Titans game, and of course our home for our Sunday tailgate for every home Titans game is right here at Teddy's Tavern, right in the heart of downtown, again right across the street from Bridgestone Arena on Broadway. Let's get to the four big storylines of today. Let's move the chains and let's start on first down. The Cincinnati Bengals offense has not looked like the Cincinnati Bengals offense. Joe Burrow dealing with the calf injury. They did survive an 0-3 start with a victory on Monday Night Football to take them to 1-2. And Burrow and Chase, 6 catches for 80-plus yards in the second half. But Derek Mason, what is up with the Cincinnati offense with Joe Burrow's calf?
Well, I think it you said it. You hit the nail on the head. It's his calf muscle. If you watch the game, you know, his games, which I know you did, you see his ball, the ball doesn't come off of his hand with any zip. It doesn't come off strong. Why? Because that plant foot, which is his right foot, he has a calf problem. And he can't push. It seems like he can't push off of it the way he wants to. So a lot of balls that he throw, they sort of like float in the air. Mm-hmm. And if he misses, he's missing high a lot of times. He's been uncharacteristically off point a few times with his receivers. And then, not only that, you got a hobbled quarterback, but then you got receivers that are dropping the ball.
Yep.
T. Higgins had 2 big drops the last game. Jamar Chase has some drops. You're talking about guys that are typically shorthanded guys. So not only do you have your quarterback still, you know, hampered by a calf injury, but you also have receivers that you count on that have been explosive for you. They are dropping like routine balls. Mm-hmm. They're dropping routine balls. So I think that's what's wrong with their offense right now. The offensive line is playing well. Their running game, it is what it is, but I don't think they could really get into their run game because everything is out of shotgun. So it's easier for the linebackers to read. They can't, the play action pass suffer because, you know, he can't get underneath center. So these are some of the things we need to watch at the beginning of this game. Does Joe Burrow get under center anytime, especially early?
You know, I just think that his rhythm is off. And the reason why I say his rhythm is off, because if you look at it, camp, he didn't play that much football. I mean, he had his calf injury, and he didn't have the repertoire that he had with his receivers, because when you're in camp, that's where you build camaraderie. So when you don't have those reps and you don't do those things, you get into the football season, and now the timing is not there. But the last game, he started out slow. The next thing you know, I think, was it the other receiver had like 14 catches?
Mm-hmm.
He had like 14 catches, so they're starting to find the rhythm. And I agree with Derek. Is he going to be under center? Is he going to stay in the shotgun? And if he gets that nastiness back and that rhythm back, it can be a long day for the Tennessee Titans because they have some weapons on the outside.
Well, and especially with how bad the Titans' pass defense has been
so far
this year.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been atrocious. That takes us to second down.
Second down.
Ryan Tannehill so far has not gotten off to the start that I think he would want, although he was good in game number two. Game number three, I don't know how we could judge Tannehill. But there is a growing sense from the national media and even some Titan fans that it is time to move on from Ryan Tannehill, to sit down Ryan Tannehill, to try to trade Ryan Tannehill. What do you guys make of it?
It's hogwash right now. It really is. If you take away the first game, because the first game, you put it all on Ryan Tannehill. He just missed wide open guys.
I wouldn't put it all on Ryan Tannehill, but you can put some of it on Tannehill.
Yeah, but I look at it from this standpoint. You have five opportunities to hit wide open guys, and you didn't complete not one of them. If you complete one of them or two of them, the games, you won the game because both of them are touchdowns. But, I mean, other than that first game, Ryan has played as good as that offensive line has played, you know, basically. So,
and I thought he played better than the offensive line played in the Charger game.
Yeah,
I think they worked around.
Exactly,
the
it worked around. But then, you know, it basically in the last game, it was a great defensive line going against a not good offensive line, and it didn't give them the ability to really take off as an offense. It started right from the jump with Cleveland's defense. So when you're talking about Ryan Tannehill, he's doing the best he can right now. And for anyone that thinks that, oh, he needs to be benched or anything else, it's too early for that.
Yeah.
This team is three games in, going on four. If they lose this game, you know, maybe you start, depending on if he plays well, maybe you start thinking about it. But right now, no, he hasn't, other than the first game, he hasn't done anything to lose you the game.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that first game, he hasn't done anything to lose you the game. Now, when he starts consistently doing things to lose you the game, then, okay, we can have this conversation. But throwing Malik Willis in or Will Levis in isn't going to change the trajectory of this team this year. Isn't going to change, you know, where this team is headed.
No, because those guys stink.
Exactly. they're not good. They're not ready. Let's just put it that way. Especially with an offensive line that isn't ready.
Yeah. Levis is not ready.
But no,
Levis is definitely not ready.
I don't think Willis is ever going to be a starting NFL quarterback.
He might be.
I think he can come in. I think he's gotten a lot better.
Yeah, sure.
He can come in and play and possibly win you a game depending on who you play. I think he can win you a game. But when you're talking about taking over a franchise, I'm not sure he's there.
You put him behind this line with an NFL
it's done. He or Will Levis.
But see, here's the thing that I want everybody to understand and the listeners, that you have an offensive line that's struggling. You got an offensive line that's giving up 13 sacks, and you have some receivers that's not playing. You got Burks that's not playing. You got receivers that's been inconsistent. If that situation is going on, don't you want an experienced quarterback in that situation to where at least he has a chance for you to make some plays? If you have an offensive line, what we talked about, no receivers, and you put Levis and Willis in there, it's going to be even worse because these guys haven't been experienced and they haven't had reps to be in an NFL game like that. So even though you're upset with their production on offense, You can't just put it on the quarterback because there's so many variables that's going on. We talked about the offensive line. We talked about the wide receiver. We talked about the play of the tight ends. So it's not just the quarterback. It's overall the offense.
That takes us to third down.
Third down.
Titans pay their pass rush a bunch of money. They pay their DBs. They're paying two safeties. They went out, got a free agent corner. They drafted Christian Fulton in order to be a starter. They drafted Roger McCreary to be a starter. 28th in the NFL in pass defense. And it's not exactly like they've played the best quarterbacks in the NFL. Herbert, yes. Watson, I mean, I could have completed some of those busted coverages for touchdowns on Sunday. D. Mace, what is the matter with the pass defense again?
It's exactly what I expected it to be.
You did not expect it to be Christian Fulton just letting the guy run right by him for a wide open touchdown, did you?
I said at the beginning.
How many touchdowns in your career did you catch?
I don't know. 60-something, I guess.
Any of those where you just ran straight and nobody covered you and they threw you the ball for a touchdown?
A couple, maybe.
He was open
a couple.
All the time.
Yeah, I was open all the time. But a couple. But this was my, you know, when everyone was saying the question marks was the offensive line, and I was saying that too. Question mark is a quarterback. Can the run game stay on track? My question mark at the beginning of this year, even before training camp, was their secondary. That was my question mark. I've been screaming that across the air for the last 6 months. And it has shown up, that question mark has shown up to be bad. I got my answer to my question. That secondary isn't good. I don't understand how your defensive line can be what it is majority of the time, but then your secondary doesn't even reap. It doesn't bleed over into your secondary.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't for some reason. You got a team that's number five and stopping the run. They can get to the quarterback, but for some reason, y'all can't hold up on the back end. That never made sense to me. When you have a great defensive line to good defensive line, usually it spills over into your secondary. It seems like it just stops right at the linebackers.
Yeah.
You know, these guys, for whatever reason, they haven't had the ability to cover consistently. I tell you what's Fulton's, what his thing is. It's his contract year. He's trying to make plays, and he's playing outside of what the defense want him to play. He's not that good to do that. Mm-hmm. He's not a Diggs. He's not a Deion Sanders. Sure. He's not a Charles Woodson. Guys that can play a little bit off script, but because they got the instinct and an ability and the speed to make up, if they miss, they can make up on a deep route. He can't do this. So when he looks in the backfield and he bites on certain things, he doesn't have the makeup speed to catch up. He's not that type of corner. He needs to play within the defense. And right now, it seems like he's not playing within the scheme of the secondary.
Yeah, and also, too, you look at what Byer consistently said last year, and he consistently said this year, is in the back end, we got to communicate.
Yeah.
I mean, look at the play where Cooper runs right by two defenders. Mm-hmm. It just shows you that two guys are not communicating with each other. So even though athletically they're getting beat like bad, getting beat bad every month, every week, but at the end of the day, they got to figure out a ways to communicate so those breakdowns don't happen in the secondary. So I think that's a big, big problem. I think they got to fix that quick because now they're going against three big dogs, Boyd and Jamar Chase and Higgins. Them cats can play ball, so they're going to try to exploit that secondary.
We'll skip fourth down since special teams haven't been bothering me, which they normally do.
Here no, on let's program. Not skip it because this will be the day they do.
Oh,
so special teams has to continue to show up.
Just continue not to piss me off since the blocked punt against the Saints. Coming up next, we'll take a look at the Titans' offense. Oh, what do they have to do to get a first down today against the Cincinnati Bengals? We'll do that coming up next. Live from Teddy's Tavern, it's the award-winning pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Inside the playbook, live out of Teddy's Tavern on the Titans' offense against the Bengals. You know, years ago, my uncle told me, he used to work for my grandfather, and he used to tell me that when he would work for my grandfather, he would go in there for lunch, and he would say, you know, Dad, what do you want for lunch?
What you want?
And my grandfather would tell him all the things that he didn't want. Right? I don't want a chicken sandwich. I don't want a salad. I don't want it. He said, I'm asking you what you did want, not what you don't want. We know what the offense can't do.
Uh-huh. Okay.
What can the offense do today against the Bengals?
Well, I mean, if, and this is a big if they can block it up, there are holes in that Cincinnati defense. This is not like we're playing against, you know, the secondary of the Cleveland Browns.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have a Ward or what's the other cat named? Newsom? Is it
Delpit? Newsom was out, but Delpit, the safety.
Exactly. They don't have those type of guys. You're going against Eli Apple in the Bucs.
Well, Eli Apple's not there anymore. But
is he?
No.
Oh, my goodness.
So it's Awuzie.
I thought they brought him back.
It's Awuzie. Cam Taylor-Britt is a second-year corner that they drafted in the first round last year, or the second round last year. He's a good player.
Yeah.
He's the one who came from behind and knocked the ball out of Derrick Henry's arms.
From last year.
Yeah,
yes.
Cam Taylor-Britt's not a bad player. Mike Hilton, their nickel, might be the best nickel, blitzing nickel in the NFL.
Yeah, they do like to bring that guy off the edge.
And then they have
lot.
Dax Hill, who they drafted in the first round a year ago, who's replacing Jesse Bates at safety.
Exactly. But this secondary, from what I've seen, if you can block it up front, then there are plays to be made in the secondary.
And you've been able to throw against it the last two times you've played.
Yeah, exactly. So this secondary is sort of it's reminiscent of the Chargers secondary. If you can block up that front seven, then the secondary isn't the biggest problem that you would be going against. But the problem is blocking it up.
Yep.
So there are plays to be made with this offense. So you take advantage of it, max protect, and try to hit some big shots down the field.
Yeah, I mean, for me, I think they got to run the ball. You look at last week, Henry was 11 for 20, Spears 4 for 6. And then I can't believe this alarming stat. Derrick Henry had 4 carries for negative 7 yards. I mean, they got to figure out a way to run the ball. And
that's
then,
like your stats.
Okay, I'm getting off the air. I got a record, though.
Hey, the record for the least amount of rushing yards in the history of the NFL belongs to Chris Sanders. So you're speaking from experience here.
I know, man. I feel good. I mean, I got my war speech last week.
Did you call Derrick Henry this week? Say, hey, man, I know I've been there before. I know how you feel. I know.
Man, I'm off this, man.
The one thing I would say about the Titans. Traylon Burks is out.
Yes.
Honestly, and I hate to say this, it might be best for Burks to be out this week, rest the knee, which is probably the same knee he hurt in Minnesota. Mm-hmm. Also, he's got to get his hands figured out and what's wrong with him catching the football. Chris Moore is probably going to get a larger opportunity in the offense.
Absolutely.
I think he kind of deserves that. He has played well so far. Derek, I know you're the president of the Chris Moore fan club.
And what have I been saying all this time with Chris Moore? And you got on him earlier, Jared, before he even played a game.
Well, he's not a starting caliber receiver in the NFL.
What did I say? I said, no, he hasn't. And I said this at the beginning. I said, no, he hasn't been a starter. But when he got his opportunity to start, he made the best of it. Sometimes with individuals, i.e. myself, when you get an opportunity, you make the best of it. And Chris Moore made the best of his opportunities in Houston. And he has made the best of his opportunities here in Nashville. Vrabel even said it.
Mm-hmm.
Vrabel said, it was like he didn't want to say it, but he had to say it. Like, yeah, Chris Moore is making plays. When we put him in, he's making plays.
Well, he was asked about, you know, so what's it mean with Burks? Does that mean more of an opportunity for Moore and Nick Westbrook and Keene? He's like, well, every time we throw the ball to Chris Moore, he catches it and does something with it. And every time we throw it to Nick Westbrook, he catches it. And
that's what those type of guys, they do. They don't – they're not the
– although Moore is a big play guy.
Yeah, he has
the big play as compared to Westbrook Akine, who's probably more of a possession guy.
Yeah, he will get you that tough catch that you need, Nick Westbrook Akine. I believe Chris Moore can beat you down the field as well as underneath. He's not going to say much. He's not going to scream and yell for the ball. But what he's going to do, as I have said for many, many weeks, be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there and just catch the ball. And that's what Chris Moore is doing.
I think the most consistent receiver has been NWI. I mean, I know he's not, you know, taking the top off the defense, but every time a play needs to be made, he's consistently there. I mean, Chris Moore, he's getting like one catch here and there, but they're explosive plays downfield, and that's exactly what you need. If you look at Traylon Burks in the last couple of weeks, I mean, he'll catch a pass here and there, but it's something's missing. I know he's dropping a pass. I know that, you know, he's not making a play, but just watching his body language, just watching him try to attack the football, he's not attacking it when he did when he was in camp.
I don't think he is truly a natural catcher, pass catcher. I think he can catch the football, but I just don't think he's one of those guys that can just pluck the ball out the air and just go. Just catch it and go. It's like a motion. Just catch it and go. He's a guy that he really has to concentrate on catching the football. And I think the times where he's dropped it, one, he's let the ball the ball get inside of his body. Mm-hmm. And then, two, I think it's just a lack of concentration with him catching balls. It's just he wanted to get in a run. He's not that type of guy right now. Now, if he gets in a rhythm, then maybe. But they haven't gotten him in a rhythm early.
And that was what I was going to ask you, D-Man. I didn't mean to interrupt you, Jared. But as me and you play receiver, if we don't get the ball early, does that
it affects you because you, the one thing you don't want a receiver to do is float. And when I mean float, I mean he's not getting the ball. He doesn't feel like he's part of the offense.
Sure.
He's blocking safety.
And then you go to look at him in the third quarter, and it's like, dude, I haven't been – you're just out of it mentally.
Yep.
Receivers like that, consider your number one receiver or playmakers, you got to get them involved early.
Mm-hmm.
Throw them a hitch, throw them a quick screen, something to get their ball in their hands and getting up the field.
So one thing that I am worried about is the Bengals' defense is not the Browns' defense. The Browns' defense, I mean, they have all the pieces in place, high draft choices, big free agent signings, and they got Jim Schwartz coaching them. You know, that is going to be a very, very good defense for the whole season. The Bengals do not have that. But the Bengals do have very good players on defense. Trey Hendrickson is a very good pass rusher. He's not Myles Garrett. He's not T.J. Watt. But he's in that second group. You know, he's a very, very good player. They've got B.J. Hill. D.J. Reader's a big space-eating defensive lineman. Sam Hubbard is a good pass rusher. Logan Wilson, their inside backer, is a very underrated player. I believe two interceptions Monday night. And then we went over their secondary a little bit. They are susceptible to the run. Can the Titans' offensive line hold up against this front to be able to run the ball, which is the Bengals' weakness?
Well, they got to. I think there's a possibility that they can do it. I think they are. If they get into a rhythm offensively as an offensive line, if they can get into the rhythm, get downhill, then I think they got an opportunity to do it. You got to go at their best defensive player. You have to. You can't run away from him because that makes his job a lot easier. Now he gets to attack you from the backside and chase you down. You got to go at him, whether it be in a run or the pass. If you're passing, like you said, you got to get two hats on him, not just one. You got to get four hands on him. You got to chip him out the backfield. If you're running the football, you got to run at him. Make his game long and hard for him. You can't run away from these really, really good defensive ends because you make their job easier.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have to work and grind to get to a tackle. Run right at them, make them work, and then eventually you'll wear them down.
Yeah, but it's all going to be up to what Tim Kelly does with the personnel.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, is he going to go 12 personnel, one back, two tights, and they can help those two tackles that are really struggling? So it's all going to depend on what formation that they're in. But I'm going to tell you this. When you have a struggling offensive line, I don't care what the front is. I know you named some guys like Hubbard and, you know, B.J. Hill and Hendrickson. If your offensive line is struggling, those guys are going to be world beaters against a struggling offensive line.
Here's the other thing, too, when it comes to the Titans, which is what has to come first right now? Does the pass set up the run or does the run have to set up the pass?
The run sets up the pass.
Even with this team?
It's going to have to because you got
because you know the Bengals are going to load that. They are not going to let Derrick Henry beat them.
Yeah, but how's play action going to work if your running game's not going well?
Play action worked against the Chargers when the running game wasn't going well.
Yeah, but the thing about it is they're going to.
When I told you that they should do that.
Here we go.
No, but I think the Titans, they're going to do what they've always done. The run sets up the pass. You have to. They can't because you can't unless you try to spread this team out, put four wides out there. But, hell, I don't even think they got four wides, meaning the Tennessee Titans with Treylon Burks down. But you, if you want to go the pass first to set up a run, well, you got to spread these guys out. You know, you got to get the ball out of Ryan Tannehill's hands. You don't want to take a chance at not establishing a run, going into a double tight, and then trying to play action off of that. If you can't get the running game going, they ain't going for that play action. You need to establish the run game with Henry and Spears. You have almost to a fault today because if you're banking on their quarterback still struggling, which I think he will still struggle today, then you got to keep this game. You got to slow this game down, and you got to keep him on the bench.
Yeah, and then also, too, if the Titans start passing on early downs, then now they're behind the chains. And then now if you look at the situation where the Tennessee Titans really struggle is when it's third and long. So if they throw the ball on first down and they incomplete it, now it's second and 10, now the play calling is going to get even worse. So they got to figure out this thing. Just like what Derek said, they got to establish the run, set up the play action so those guys will make plays on the perimeter.
I have a concern that's going to be an unpopular concern.
Mm. Here we go.
Tajay Spears. I think Spears is fine. I think he's got a nice little burst to him, but I don't think he's got like a special gear to him when he runs with the football. He does not look like a very effective pass-catching back. You know, he's not running the route tree as one of these running backs that comes out of the backfield like a McCaffrey, like a Kamara, like those kind of guys that they come out, and I mean, they're literally run. They're a receiver that is, you know, he's not that. And I was disappointed at his inability against the Browns when he had the ball in his hands, because he's supposed to be the speed guy. He's not running away from anybody. And I find that disappointing. I almost think that I can get just as much from Derrick Henry in the passing game as I can get from Spears in the passing game, if for no other reason people don't know that Derrick Henry, no one's expecting Derrick to catch the ball and run with it. And he's shown that if you can get the ball with him in space running with the football, he can do something with it. I keep looking for that, you know, big shot from Spears, and I have not seen it, and he does not look like a, you know, good pass-catching back by NFL standards.
I think he is. They just hadn't gotten, for whatever reason, they just have not gotten him the ball in space. Now, that could be because of the offensive line. Now, when he's had a chance on a few runs, he's gotten outside, and he's shown that burst of speed that he's known for. He showed it. But as far as the passing game, you are right. But I don't think that's a problem of his. I think it's just, you know, a byproduct of the way they run their offense. Because it's not just him. Last year, they had the same type back. They did Hilliard.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't use him in that fashion. It's like they want these type of running backs, but then they don't use them the way they need to use them. And then when they use them, they're effective, and then they go back away from them. They don't consistently try to make that particular back with that skill set a part of their play-action pass or a part of their screen game or part of their passing game, period. It's almost like a second, like an afterthought. Mm-hmm. Or we'll do it when we just necessarily have to. But they don't. It seems like they don't. That's not a part of who they are as a team. They would rather throw a screen to Derrick Henry than set up a really good screen with Tajay Spears, who has the ability to hit it quick and go, you know, and get a home run.
And I think Tajay Spears is an outside runner. I think that Tim Kelly needs to be, you know, kind of do some things different. Maybe go a 20 personnel with two backs in the backfield and then spread them out and do the speed sweep. Get him in that type of way to where he can get the ball. Because if you look at some of the runs he makes, when he's outside the tight ends, that's where he makes his runs really, 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 really good. So I think that's what they got to do.
Let's take a look at the defense. We'll do that on the other side. The Bengals offense has not been the Bengals offense so far, but the Titans defense has some making up to do for what happened Sunday against the Browns. We are live again at Teddy's Tavern right across the street from the Bridgestone Arena Plaza out here downtown Nashville. This is our pregame tailgate spot for all of the home games. And again, Teddy's Tavern brunch and specialty Titans cocktails are available every Sunday from the open till 2 o'clock. 2-for-1 mimosas and Bloody Marys from open until 2 every Sunday. And 2-for-1 draft beer all day on Sundays. That's right. And be sure to try the specialty Titans themed cocktails during brunch, including the T-Rack Sack and Titan Water, as well as 2-for-1 mimosas and Bloody Marys again until 2 o'clock. It's the pregame show live from Teddy's Tavern, 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Three starts for Joe Burrow against the Titans, one of which, of course, came in the division round of the playoffs. Three victories for Joe Burrow against the Tennessee Titans. Now, the Titans aren't the only team that has a hard time beating Joe Burrow, but taking a look at the Cincinnati Bengals on offense so far this season, thanks in large part to Burrow's calf injury and his lack of training camp snaps and preseason he didn't play in, the Bengals currently ranked 30th in the NFL in offense, 28th in points scored. They're not turning the football over, which is good, but here's an alarming stat for them. They are passing the ball the fifth most in the NFL. They have the 26th ranked passing offense. That is terrible. If you're throwing it the fifth most in the NFL, you should want to have, you know, the fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh best passing offense in the NFL. They're 26th. The problem is the Titans' passing defense is horrendous at 28th in the NFL. Something has to give. Chris Sanders,
yeah.
What are we thinking about defensively today against Joe Burrow and Bengals?
I mean, it all starts with Burrow. I mean, you look at the situation the last couple of weeks. He looks uncomfortable in the pocket. And I think the front of the Tennessee Titans, you know, has to make sure they get him off his spot. So if they can get him rattled, get him uncomfortable, and I think the Tennessee Titans can be successful. But here's the one thing I don't want to happen. You alluded to it a few minutes ago, is they can't keep giving them explosive plays. I mean, they got some great wide receivers. They got Boyd. They got Higgins. They got Jamar Chase. If you get those guys in rhythm and you get those guys early catches and they start feeling a little bit of confidence, it can be a long day for the Tennessee Titans. So they have to be good up front and make sure they don't give the explosive plays.
Well, the thing they can't do, because this offense is averaging 170 some yards per game, but on the flip side, well, equally as bad, they're only averaging like 69 yards, you know, running the football. Mm-hmm. This is a team with a very good running back in Mixon.
So yep. Somebody told me this week the reason that they're not running the ball very much.
Because they're not underneath center.
Well, because Burrow cannot execute like the zone run.
Because
like
of the
he
calf.
Can't do it. Yeah.
Because of the calf. So, you know, the Titans must keep them one-dimensional. That's why this Cincinnati Bengals, even with those, you know, playmakers they have, Boyd, Higgins, Chase, and even a tight end, and Mixon coming out the backfield. The reason why they are so poor in the pass game, because no one respects their run game, because they got to do everything out of shotgun. When you do everything out of shotgun, this is not college football where you can do the RPO, split those guys out wide, get the defense out wide, mm-hmm. and get them out of their space. You can't do that in the NFL. So now, as a linebacker, I see better when you make that fake if you're going to give it to a running back or not. So if the Titans can continue to make them one-dimensional, as every other team has, because of the lack of, you know, the quarterback being able to get out from underneath center, if they can continue to make them one-dimensional, you're going to continue to see Cincinnati have the same problems that they've had the last three games, where they cannot run the football because the quarterback cannot get underneath center.
Yeah, and I don't want Shane Bowen to go a two-safety high to take away the deep shots down the field, because if you go two-safety high, then you eliminate one of the safeties being in the box to try to stop the run. So if they do that and they go two safety high and Mixon starts running the ball, then all of a sudden one of the safeties got to come up, and that's when they're going to take those shots.
I pay Jeffrey Simmons too much money for them to be able to run the ball,
saying,
and
he
have to
saying.
Bring a safety down.
Yeah.
And that takes me to kind of the thing that really bothers me going back to last week's game with the Browns. I expected the Titans' offense to struggle against the Browns.
Right.
I think we all expected the Titans' offensive line to struggle against the Browns' defensive line. The defense was horrendous on Sunday against Cleveland. I mean, busted coverages, losing the back out of the backfield for a touchdown. I mean, we can go down the list, and I just assume do that right now. I mean, I'm looking at Jeffrey Simmons, right? And all I ever hear about is how great Jeffrey Simmons is, and that Jeffrey Simmons is as good as Chris Jones, and that Jeffrey Simmons is – Chris Jones sacked the quarterback 15 times last year. Jeffrey Simmons has never had 10 sacks in an NFL season. Quinnen Williams of the Jets sacked the quarterback 12 times last year. I mean, the defense needs a play last week, and Jeffrey Simmons on the first third down of the game has a shot at the quarterback and can't bring him down. Arden Key missed 3 sacks on Sunday. Hooker had him ripped, had him, you know, lined up in the backfield. That's 3 points off the board if Hooker sacks him. 3 points off the board and good field position if Simmons or Key sack him on the first third down. I'm paying this defensive line way too much money to not sack the quarterback. And, I mean, if they're going to win this game, it's going to be because they're getting after Joe Burrow. If they don't get after Joe Burrow, he will pick them apart with those receivers. And so I'm getting frustrated by the lack of big plays from guys that every time I host a radio show, everybody tells me that, oh, he's as good as anybody in the league, or he's as right now on defense. There's 4 guys doing their job, in my opinion. Autry, Tart, Gibbons, and Byard. And outside of that, everybody else letting you down.
Hey, Byard's not doing his job either because that secondary isn't good. He's not playing the way that I normally see him play or I expect him to play. He's taking a step back as well because, again, that's secondary. And it starts with him because he's the lead on that secondary.
Right.
The communication is off, which means they're not playing well. You're right about the defensive line. They need to capitalize on opportunities they have to sack the quarterback. Now, listen, Deshaun Watson was a different animal.
Absolutely.
You know, he's slippery. It's hard to get him down. I think in this situation.
Wasn't hard for the Steelers.
No, but the Steelers have more opportunities to get him down, but they didn't. He was able to, you know, elude the tackler and either throw the ball away or get a minimal game. The reason why I believe, you know, the Titans get to the quarterback this week is because he's injured. Mm-hmm. He can't move the way he normally moves. Joe Burrow is one of the best at escaping rush. That's a part of his game, getting outside the pocket, making plays with his feet if he needs to, eluding rushes. He can't do that with his injury.
Yeah.
I expect the Titans to try to tee off on it. I expect Big Jeffrey Simmons to push that pocket in and Danico Autry, Arden Key, Azeez, those guys to come off the edge and get sacks. The guy they need to show up is Harold Landry.
Yeah,
he
absolutely.
Needs to show up. But it's hard for him to do that.
Yet.
Yeah, he's not
right.
back.
Yeah.
He doesn't look to me. You activate Murphy, you throw him in the game, you get Weaver in the game more because at this point in time, Harold Landry isn't giving you what you need from that side of the ball. It's not his fault. He just can't.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to put guys in there that can do that.
And I think for the Titans, they're losing on the money downs. When I say the money downs, that's third and two and third and three. They're not getting off the field.
Mm-hmm.
And if and I think later on in the game, you're seeing a tired front, and they're not getting off blocks. They're laying on people. I think they need to put together a complete game with the front and the back end. If they don't do that, it can be a long day for the Tennessee Titans going against this potent offense.
Jacksonville leads Atlanta 17-7 that game in the third quarter, apparently.
And you know, somebody texted me, man. Saying they need to trade Tannehill to Atlanta.
Somebody texted the show this week and said something about that. I was like, when did that come up? But apparently Desmond Ridder has stunk up the joint for the Falcons. Coming up next, who's in, who's out? We'll have the inactives from the game today for the Titans and the Bengals. Again, we are live at Teddy's Tavern. And come on out. Every home game this season, Teddy's Tavern, is our pre-game, during the game, post-game, you name it. It's the spot. Home of the early and late happy hour every Sunday through Thursday from 4 to 6:30 and 10 o'clock until close. And again, we're right across the street from the Bridgestone Arena Plaza, steps away from the Ryman. And Teddy's is the perfect spot to grab drinks and a quick bite before and after Preds games, concerts, and events. It's the award-winning pregame show live from Teddy's Tavern on 102.5, 106 through the game. Live from Teddy's Tavern here on the award-winning pregame show, 102.5, 106.3 the game. Let's take a look at the injury report. Who's in, who's out?
What we got down?
For today's game, inactive for the Bengals, corner DJ Ivy, linebacker Devin Harper, linebacker Akeem Davis-Gaither, center Trey Hill, offensive tackle Jackson Carman, and tight end Irv Smith Jr. are out today for the Bengals. That means that Drew Sample will be starting at tight end for Cincinnati in place of Herb Smith Jr.
Jackson Myers out?
No.
Wow. Dang.
I don't even know who that is.
I'm just messing with you. Because you sound excited.
Out today for the Titans, linebacker Luke Gifford, defensive back Elijah Molden, offensive lineman Peter Skoronski, offensive lineman Jalen Duncan, wide receiver Treylon Burks, and quarterback Will Levis are inactive today for the Titans. It is starting to get to the point with Burks where he's starting to get the label of injury prone.
Yeah.
It's starting to get to the point with Treylon Burks, and you guys both played the position at wide receiver. Chris, you had success right away on the all-rookie team. Derek, your success came later in your career. You started off as a returner and later became, you know, the number one receiver of the Titans. But it feels like with Treylon Burks, the guy that they traded A.J. Brown for, it feels like he's just not getting to where I think a lot of us expected him to be.
Well, I mean, he hasn't, and it has been a disappointment to me because I expected him to come in and, you know, show why, you know, or prove to them why they, you know, he deserved that number one, that first round pick. And, you know, it started early in training camp. He looked good in training camp, but then he has the injury when they go down to Minnesota, go up to Minnesota, and he just hadn't been right since that injury. But even that, you know, he had some routine catches that he just hadn't made for whatever reason. I don't know if he's pressing, you know, is he not concentrating? What is he doing that he's dropping routine catches? Because this is something that he didn't have the drops these last year, even though he didn't play much. But it's just, to me, it's uncharacteristic of him because he hasn't shown this before. How do we get out of it? Well, he can't get out of it today because he's not playing. But I am somewhat disappointed that he hasn't been a bigger role in this offense. And I'm disappointed in Chigakonkwo that he hasn't shown up big for this team. If this offense want to thrive from a passing standpoint, those two guys have to be the leaders, Chigakonkwo and Treylon Burks. Why? Because they have the capability and ability to be playmakers within his offense. They just hadn't shown it.
You know, I had the opportunity of playing with one of the best wide receivers in the league, probably going to be a Hall of Famer one day, and that's D. Mace, and I'm not trying to brag on him. Give my money later
on.
Well,
thank you, man. I'll give you money later, man.
The reason why I'm saying that is because the reason why Derek Mace was so good is, number one, he was available and he was consistent. Mm-hmm. And that's why you got over 13,000 yards, right? Mm-hmm. How many games have you missed?
Maybe two or three.
And the reason why I bring up that point is because if you want to be a great receiver in this league, you got to be consistent and you got to be available. Those are the two things that Treylon Burks is not doing. He's not consistent. He's dropping passes in the game, and he's not available. You got to be available to make the play. He kind of reminds me of a guy, and this is no disrespect because I think this guy that I'm about to say is a great player, Yancey Thigpen. Yancey Thigpen was a great, great player. But a lot of times he just wasn't available because he was consistently having the ankle injury. Mm-hmm.
And that's maybe easy on great.
No.
Hey, listen, the way people throw around great, they did throw it around nilly willy. So if Chris want to say great, then he can say great, man. Because we have no true definition of what great is. Because we call everybody
absolutely
great.
Like Javon Kirst was great with the Titans.
But both
Thigpen might be a
no. You know what I mean. I'm talking about great for the organization, and I'm not talking about a Hall of Famer, you jerk.
No. Great might be a.
You got Derek breaking chairs, man.
It's like wrestling over here.
Right, man.
What do you guys think about what do you think about how the Titans will use Chris Moore today and Nick Westbrook-Ikhine in there to take Treylon Burks' reps?
I mean, they're going to have to figure out the one-on-one situation. I think the one thing you got to do is you got to get Chris Moore the ball early. You can't give him the ball, two and three plays later. They got to make sure they get him the ball early. Get him a screen, get him a hitch, get him a slant, and let him get the rhythm of the game. So they got to get him involved early.
I say the offense is going to be – it's going to flow a little bit better because – the two guys that they're implementing in the game has proven they can catch the football.
Absolutely.
You know, and proven they can be consistent for this offense. Again, just be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there and make the play. And unfortunately for Treylon Burks and Chigakonkwo, they haven't been that. But Nick Westbrook-Ikhine and Chris Moore have been. So I look for them both to have a bigger role in what they're going to do from a pass standpoint this afternoon.
But who's going to be the third receiver? That's what we need to – if they go 11 personnel, one back, one tight end, and three wide receiver, who's going to be that third person in the slot?
Well, is it going to be Kinsey?
You got to put
Hopkins. I mean, it's going to be – but then the fourth guy is probably Kinsey.
Kinsey, yeah. There you go.
I mean, they are
– they're thin.
They're thin.
They're very thin.
Now, they added a tight end yesterday in Kevin Rader. I think that's more – they added him up from the practice squad. I think that's more – because he's probably a better version of the blocking tight end than Trevon Wesco has been. Wesco has been horrible.
Yeah.
He hadn't caught the ball well, and he's not blocking well.
So
I mean, he's making me miss Jeff Swain.
That means he's doing bad.
I mean, that's the worst.
He's doing
that's
bad.
Like the worst thing I can say about you. If you're making me miss Swain. Jeff Swain.
Oh, man.
I mean, that
you,
is.
You used to be mad every week on that dude, wouldn't
you? Oh, my goodness. And now they went out and they got a worse version of
Wesco.
Him.
Wesco. That's the name, Wesco.
Skoronski out again with the appendectomy. This will be the third game that he misses. I had heard early in the week there was a chance Skoronski was going to be able to go. My guess is Skoronski will be able to go next week. How much have they lost as a whole on the offensive line by not having Skoronski in there?
I think you lose your best offensive lineman. That's what you lose. He's been.
But I wonder, like, does it hurt Andre Dillard?
I think it does.
Skoronski's not next to him. Does it hurt Aaron Brewer?
Yeah, yes. Because it's about communication.
Ravens is trying. Like, he's trying, but he stinks. Mm-hmm. And Skoronski is actually really good.
Oh, man.
Yeah, but you lose the communication with those three. Amongst everything else, if offensive linemen, you can be from a physical standpoint, a goddess in the sense of just big, strong, and physical. But if there's no communication across the board, then you're not going to play well consistently. Without Peter in the game, they missed that communication that they were building. Even though it didn't look good at first, I believe if they continue to play together, it gets a little bit better. Why? Because now I get to know my left tackle. Now I get to know my center. Now we're communicating as one and not as separate individuals. So not having Peter has pushed them back from a communication standpoint first, and then from a talent standpoint.
And that's a great key, Derek. When you talk about communication, look at the situation in the Los Angeles Chargers game when the linebacker was mugging the gap. When I say mugging the gap, they're standing in the gap. When you got the guard and the tackle not communicating and he gets sacked on fourth down, that's a communication issue.
I don't even know why that guy's still on the team.
Who's that, Dillard?
No, Xavier Newman Johnson. I mean, after watching those 8 snaps and they were like, take him out,
like,
I don't even know why he's still
he
on the team.
Bad.
Speaking of Dillard, the NFL revised their gambling policy on Friday, which means that Nicholas Petit-Ferrer, a.k.a.
Ohio State University.
No, that's where he went to school. What's his nickname?
Oh, PT.
PT. That Nicholas Petit-Ferrer will be available next week.
What's that mean?
It means that he'll be available next week.
Okay.
So instead of having to wait 2 more weeks, he will be available for the Indianapolis game. Now, he played left tackle at?
The Ohio State University.
Hubbard has been their second best offensive lineman this year behind Skoronski at right tackle. I would be looking at Andre Dillard in this game against the Bengals, and I would be thinking, if I don't see improvement, if I see the same old crap, I think I'm benching Andre Dillard and I'm putting Nicholas Petit-Ferrer at left tackle. Now, this would have never happened if I were the coach, because Skoronski would have been at left tackle from day one. But they've decided they want him to play guard. For whatever reason that is, you'll have to ask them. They won't tell you, but, that's their decision, and I think it's a bad one. But I think right now, if I don't like what I see from Dillard again this week, I'm putting him on the bench, and I'm putting PT at left tackle, and I'm putting Skoronski at left guard, and I'm going from there. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, but – oh, go ahead.
No,
let me just break this down. I'm going to give you some stats. I'm a stat guy. The Tennessee Titans has given up 13 sacks. 6 of them is against Dillard. So they got to figure out a way to get him out of, put somebody else in there because he's not doing his job. Mike Vrabel always talks about guys got to do their job. Guys got to communicate. Guys got to make sure they're doing what they're doing. But when you got a guy that's giving up half of the sacks, they got to figure out a situation to get him replaced.
Well, I mean, here's the problem. You say Hubbard is playing better, but where's the bar at? I mean, the bar is low. So he's still not a –
No, he still sucks. No, there's
he's
no doubt
still
about
a bad
that.
Player.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So my thing is, when you bring Nicholas back, to me, I would put Nicholas at right. Let him get some games at right. Let him, get the juices to flowing again. And if Dillard's not doing a job, now I can segue that over. I can segue him over to the left and put Hubbard back in.
Do you think PT will be ready to play next week?
No. Oh, man. I'm sure he's going to be activated. Now, whether he's ready to play from a physical standpoint, I doubt it. They probably want to give him – because he can't practice with the team. They probably want to give him maybe a week of practice.
So he'll be able to practice on Wednesday.
Yeah, so they'll give him the week to practice, see how he looks. If they don't think he's ready to go, then it'll be the next following week.
I'll tell you, he's going to play.
What about Raidens? You love Raidens?
Well, I'm putting Raidens back on the
bench. But you just can't you can't throw him out there without having a good week of practice. But Raidens have been practicing. Mm-hmm. He had been practicing with the team. It's not like he just came back and they threw him in there. No, he had been practicing with the team. If he does well in practice, meaning Nicholas, this upcoming week, then I'm more inclined to put him in. But if he shows any rust, I'm going to wait for a while. I will activate him, and it's play if needed. But we want to wait another week to throw you in there.
TD is at the stadium. How has Joe Burrow's calf looked again? He was full go this week in practice. But how does it look on the field? We'll get to that with TD coming up next live from Teddy's Tavern. Again, Teddy's Tavern, 2-for-1 mimosas and Bloody Marys from open until 2 o'clock every Sunday. 2-for-1 draft beer all day every Sunday. You guys look like you like the 2-for-1 draft beers that they got going on over here. He's got his two crews right there. Come on out and join us at Teddy's Tavern. It's the award-winning pregame show on 102.5, 106 through the game.
JP2.
We are live out at Teddy's Tavern again across the street from Bridgestone Arena. 2-for-1 draft beer all day every Sunday in the rooftop overlooking the excitement of Broadway and Bridgestone's main concourse. Come on out. Again, this is going to be our spot for every home game this season. TD is live at Nissan Stadium. TD is presented by the Beast Unleashed, zero caffeine, zero sugar, and all the adult beverage fun. TD, let's start with this. Joe Burrow was full go in practice this week, no injury designation. Obviously, he's playing. How has the calf muscle looked on Joe Burrow?
You know what? That's a really good question, and the thing that's shocking to me is I haven't seen him come out yet. I'm still waiting for him to come out, so I can't tell you how it is because he's not out there.
That's a little surprising, right? You know, kickoff is in an hour and 10 minutes, and the starting quarterback hasn't come out, TD?
Yeah, I haven't seen him. I've been waiting. But, you know, the bus came a little bit earlier than normal, so maybe he went out early and then just tucked it in for the bit until he goes back out for game time. I don't know. But, yeah, I haven't seen him out there.
Have either of you two ever had a calf injury?
No.
In the NFL?
No.
Uh-uh. Okay.
Nope. Don't want one. Don't want one at all.
Yeah, I don't want one either.
He's going to try to give you a calf injury.
Exactly.
let me get one.
I ain't going to tell you what I told the guys you need to do to Joe Burrow, but I'll say that for another day. But we can, you know, talk about, you know, what's going to go on in this game. Treylon Burks is not playing. Do you believe there will be any change in the offense? And who do you think take his place? Will it be Nick Westbrook-Ikhine or will it be Chris Moore?
You know what? I think it's going to remain the same. And unfortunately, even though, you know, Treylon Burks is a really good player, I don't think he's at a point now where he dictates how you play on offense, right? Mm-hmm. So I think it's going to be the same. I would say Chris Moore. I asked Mike Vrabel about Chris Moore and having more opportunities on Friday. I asked him about that. He was like, man, Treylon has dropped a couple, but Chris Moore has caught everything we've thrown his way. And Vrabel loves the way Chris Moore attacks the football. So I think, you know, when you look at him and you bring him in, he'll probably be the guy, but you are losing some yards after the catch ability.
Now with this team, obviously they're without Peter Skoronski. And, you know, them running the football hasn't been as effective as they normally are. Do you think they still go in with the mentality of running the ball first, considering this is a good defensive front that the Cincinnati Bengals is bringing into Nissan Stadium today?
Yeah, I think they still run the ball, and it's one of those mindsets where, you know, they run to pass. So I would say that would be the case. It's funny because the Bengals, like, they pride themselves so much on slowing down Derrick Henry. You know, you look at the last time they played, you know, Henry didn't have 100 yards. But I think that's going to give you opportunity for play action, right? Because those young safeties, you know what they've been hearing all week. Look, you got to come down and you get support, support, run support, run support. So you play action and you go over top. I think that there's an opportunity there.
You know, no, TD, just looking at the tight end position, you got Chig that's been struggling the last couple of weeks. Last week he had 3 catches for 7 yards. What does Tim Kelly need to do to get him more involved in the offense?
You know, I that's another part of the play action, right? Play action, let him run seam routes and stuff like that. I think it's also a matter of getting him the ball quickly and letting him make yards after the catch, like with blockers, you know, the screen game and stuff like that. It's confusing, you know, because it seems like everything he catches is at or behind the line of scrimmage.
Yeah.
You know, and it's funny, I just said screen game, but that's something that they can do. They got to get him involved, though. I think it really, for him, it has to be a part of the vertical. He has to be a vertical field stretcher, and they got to take some shots that way.
Yeah, just, you know, just kind of looking at the offensive line. The offensive line has been struggling the last 3 weeks. You got the 2 tackles with Hubbard and Dillard. What does Tim Kelly need to do to make sure these guys are protected so they don't give up any sacks?
You know, here's the thing. It's not only Tim Kelly. Jason Hotelang, the O-line coach, they got to get Dylan Raiders. Like, when they slide to Dillard's side, he has to protect his inside. He's not doing that, you know, and that's something I spent a lot of time on Friday talking to Daniel Brunskill, just trying to get a better understanding of, you know, how they work slide protection and stuff like that. And it's like, look, man, you're sliding to that side. You got to protect your man's inside. You got your hand on the guy inside of you, but you got to protect that. And then that way Dillard could just ride whoever, Trey Henderson in this case, ride him down the field so Tannehill can step up. But when it's going the way that it's going now, you know, Dillard has to worry about the whole man instead of half a man. And he's not a guy that you want worried about a whole man because he's just not holding up right now.
TD, I know that there were some questionable penalties in the game against the Bengals, or the Browns, but that secondary got embarrassed last Sunday. We know how good, you know, Ja'Marr Chase and T. Higgins and Tyler Boyd are, and when Joe Burrow's healthy, he's as good as maybe any quarterback in the league. What has been kind of the challenge and maybe the understanding that the defensive backs had this week in the locker room when you talked with them after last week's performance?
Yeah, they're very frustrated after, you know, what they put out yesterday, or last week, rather. And, you know, in talking to them, the big thing is, like, tackle immediately. That's the big thing because they know that ball's coming out in under 3 seconds because that's – you look at what the Bengals have done. Everything is schemed to get – let's get the ball out of Burrow's hands quickly. We don't want him back there. We know he's hurt. Let's get the ball out quickly. And that's how it's going. In fact, if you want a number, right, 6.1, that's the amount of air yards that Burrow has on passes this season, and that's the lowest through the first 3 games of the season in his career. So that lets you know they're getting the ball out quickly. So it's all about, you know, tackling. And Chase, you know, he's a big, strong, sturdy receiver, so they got to make sure that they do that. That's their mindset.
Teron Davenport is presented by The Beast Unleashed. Again, get all the adult fun, 0 calories, 0 sugar, The Beast Unleashed. What did Joey from Bellevue say to you, Chris?
Oh, yeah. A guy came in. He said, man, he said, I love y'all show y'all doing Saturday. But the first thing he said, man, that TD looks like Sam Cassell.
Hey, listen, I'm going to tell you something crazy. I got caught up in just, you know, memories, right? And I was watching old videos of the Miami Dolphins, right? And they had this punter, right? And my daughter was like, I didn't know that that guy that you do radio with is a black punter. I said, no, that's Reggie Roby. That ain't true.
TD with a mic drop on Chris Sanders. TD, you're the man. Appreciate you as always.
Man, appreciate you guys.
Yep. TD. By the way, bad news. Atlanta had a 4th down, down by 13 against Jacksonville with 6:01 to go inside the 10-yard line. They did not convert. So right now it's 20-7 Jacksonville, late 4th quarter, and the Jags will have the football. Ooh, the Jags will have the football. And it looks like Jacksonville's probably going to go to 2-2. You know, we talked to TD about the defensive backs. Mm-hmm. I've been watching Titan football for 25 years.
Woo, long time.
He's only 30.
How's that make you guys feel?
Old.
Okay. I have never heard as much complaining about the referees as I did last Sunday. Mm-hmm. They complained about the Fulton PI. They complained about the two Murphy Bunting holdings, you know, and pass interference where they're hand fighting over there. Yeah. You guys are receivers. Did you think the officiating last week was egregious and detrimental to the defensive backs, or do you think the defensive backs need to man up?
They need to play. They need to be able to play with their feet and not grab on an individual. You only grab when you're out of position. And, you know, listen, this league is getting harder and harder to defend because, this, you know, they've gone more to a pass-happy league where all the rules are geared toward getting numbers and getting points. But even with that, when you're out of position, that's when you tend to grab and hold. Those were penalties because on the flip side, if you are grabbing a Titan receiver and holding them the way that they, you know, were grabbing and holding on the Browns receiver, you expect that to be called. And sometimes it, and at times it is called. So in regards to that, I didn't see any problem. They just need to be in better position with their feet, and that will, you know, allow them not to hold. But, I mean, the refs, hell, the refs helped you out last week, too.
Yeah, to
they
the touchdown.
They missed a huge call. A huge call that would have been 7 points for the Cleveland Browns. So if you feel they make mistakes and miss calls or whatnot for you, then they do it the other way, too. But you got to play with your feet, not your hands.
Yeah, but see, here's the problem. We're looking at the end of the play. We're looking at, okay, what they do at the end of the play. I think he grabbed him before the play was even made. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So it's not that, okay, oh, he was in good position, but he's grabbing before he was even at the spot. I mean, that's the problem. I agree with Derek. You got to be in the right position. You got to jam them at the line of scrimmage. Win in that area so you don't have to, you know, go succumb to what they call on the field.
Coming up next, picks to click. Who's got a click today for a Titans victory? They need some clicking. And we will do that coming up next. The award-winning pregame show is live from Teddy's Tavern. Every home game this season, this is our tailgate spot. We got a lot of Titan fans down here. We got some Bengal fans down here, too.
Uh-huh.
I need to get more Titan fans in here. Who's the next home game against? I think it's Atlanta. So I think, you know, when it's Atlanta, there's probably not going to be a lot of Falcon fans because the Falcons don't really have a lot of fans. But when there's, like, a popular team that comes in here, I mean, we're going to need the Titan fans to knock out those other fans. Be sure to catch the Titans and the Bengals and all the other games today from Teddy's Tavern at the second floor lounge and rooftop and try their specialty Titan-themed cocktails during brunch, including the T-Rack Sack and Titan Water, as well as two-for-one mimosas and Bloody Marys until 2 o'clock. It's the award-winning pregame show live from Teddy's Tavern on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Picks to Click are presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment here on the pregame show. I can't even remember who we picked last week to click.
I won.
Who'd you pick? Nobody
you
clicked
pick?
Yesterday for the Titans.
Yeah, nobody clicked
against the Browns. But we need to change that. Chris Sanders,
yes, sir.
Who needs to click today on offense for the Titans against the Bengals?
Since it's out there, I'm going to take it. I'm going with Chris Moore. I mean, you know, it's going to take it. Hey, we need a guy to make some plays on the perimeter. Burks is out. NDY is going to be play well. But we got to have somebody that can take the top off the defense. So I'm going with Chris Moore.
By the way, I wanted to pick Chris Moore. That was going to be my – but I knew that there was no way I was going to get through you two and be able to pick Chris Moore. So I'm with you, Chris. That's a good pick
Thank you, sir.
On Chris
Moore. That's a great pick with Chris Moore because if Chris hadn't picked him, I would have picked Chris Moore. I'm going with Chigakonko.
Let's go.
He has to show up this game. He got to show up big. So I'm going to say, as I've been saying all week, Chig, if you're listening on your way to the stadium or if you're at your locker and you got this on, because I know you do, 102.5, the best pregame show in town.
Yes, sir.
I know you're listening.
The award-winning pregame show.
Award-winning pregame show. Or anybody that knows Chig personally, tell him this. You need to show up, brother. I don't need your Maryland game anymore. I need your NFL game to show up. So my pick to click is Chig.
By the way, if Chig is listening to the pregame show,
yeah,
the award-winning pregame show,
yes.
If Chig is listening, he may not be playing today because I don't think Vrabel would be okay with somebody walking in there at 11:04 for a 12:05 kickoff. I'm going with DeAndre Hopkins.
Let's go.
I mean, at some point, like DeAndre, those catches he had on the sidelines last week against the Browns, those were vintage DeAndre catches. I mean, the Bengals do have a solid defense, but in the secondary with guys like Awuzie and Cam Taylor-Britt, they could be, you know, susceptible. And I would not be surprised to see DeAndre line up some in the slot because Mike Hilton, the nickel corner for the Bengals, may be the best blitzing nickel in the league. So what do? You put DeAndre in the slot. I don't think they can blitz the nickel to go after Tannehill. So I think we may see DeAndre some in the slot. I think this needs to be a high-volume day for DeAndre. Yep. Maybe not big plays, but high volume. Get it to DeAndre. Stay ahead of the chains and go to DeAndre to move the chains.
It's not a bad philosophy. It's not a bad approach to this game. You just hope that if you do go down that route, it pays off for you.
Would you put him in the slot to neutralize the nickel corner?
Yes.
Yeah, I would put him in a slot. You're not going to get much out of him on the outside. I think in this game, you put him in a slot, give him a two-way go.
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it is, his specialty is, you know, yards after the catch. And mm-hmm. I think you get the ball early, let him run a choice routes, let him run a hitch, and just put the ball in his hands, get him involved early, get some rhythm, and let him make some plays.
Defense, who's your pick to click?
You're going to be mad when I do this. We say this all the time. Big players make big plays in big games. I'm going with Jeffrey Simmons. And the reason why I'm going with Jeffrey Simmons is because the two times before this they played him, he had a couple of sacks, and he was an impact player in that game. He needs to have that same game he had against them in the playoffs, and I think he's going to be big in this game. Jeffrey Simmons, the 12th.
I need Jeffrey Simmons to start making some game-changing plays because everybody talks about him like he's a game-wrecking player. He's paid like he's a game-wrecking player. And then we saw Myles Garrett last week wreck the game. That is a game-wrecking player. I need Simmons to start making some plays like that.
My pick to click is the big fella, Tyrae Tarr. He has to show up big.
They don't run the ball.
It doesn't matter. Tyrae, he is the one guy that has been consistent. Jeffrey Simmons is great. Danico Autry does what he do. But Tyrae Tarr has been – Tyrae Tarr is like a Jason Fisk to me. He's like a guy that you just put in the middle, and he's just going to do his job. Not a lot of fanfare because, you know, he had Javon Kurz and he had Kevin Carter, so there was not a lot of fanfare. But he did his job. He did exactly what you wanted him to do. Tyrae Tarr is the same type player. Doesn't get the fanfare, but he got an he's intercepted the ball. He's rushed the passer. He's got sacks. So he needs to show up today, the big fella.
Come on, big dog.
I was surprised that you didn't challenge Christian Fulton the same way that you challenged Chigakonkwo.
I started to, but it makes – I mean, he is who he is, man.
Who we thought he was.
He is who he is.
You're not a Fulton fan.
I'm not a Fulton fan.
No.
I'm not.
I'm going to go with Arden Key. And I'm going to go with Arden Key because he played a horrendous game last week against the Cleveland Browns. I mean, horrendous. And we know that Joe Burrow is limited from a mobility standpoint with that calf, regardless of how much he practiced or didn't practice. The fact that TD said that he had not seen Burrow up until an hour and 10 minutes before kickoff is concerning because we see, you know, on every game they show the quarterbacks out there throwing and warming up, you know, hours before the game. So what that tells me is Burrow is in the training room getting as much treatment on that calf as possible. That calf is still a problem for Joe Burrow. And the one guy who can make him move is Arden Key. And they've got a left tackle in Orlando Brown who they paid a bunch of money to, but he's coming along. And so this is a game. And I would not even, if I was Vrabel, I would not be afraid to move Autry and move Key and move some of those guys around to get favorable matchups on their offensive line. But Arden Key has got to make Joe Burrow move today. And if he doesn't, or he plays anything like the game that he played last Sunday against the Browns, the Titans are in some serious trouble.
Well, yeah, they are. And I think also on the back end, I didn't go with Fulton as my pick to click because I just I don't think he's going to click. And he hadn't clicked up at this point. I don't think he will click. But the communication with the back end needs to be a lot better than what it has been.
And those are our picks to click, presented by Parman Tractor and Equipment. I do wonder, when it comes to Fulton, you know, Vrabel might be a little different than me. I would bench Fulton. Because in the two games he's played, you won the Charger game without him. But he's a better player than Trey Avery. I'm not arguing that. But if you're just going to let guys run right by you for big plays all the time, you're helping me lose. I at some point, you know, Floyd used to always say this, either you're coaching it or you're allowing it to happen. And at some point with Fulton, they just have to sit him on the bench and say, hey, man, you're giving up too many X plays in the wrong spot. You're giving up too many touchdowns. I mean, you're giving up too many big penalties. You just, at some point, he's a more talented player than Trey Avery, but at some point, Trey Avery's not giving up all those touchdowns. At some point, you have to put him on the bench.
Okay, what was the name of the receiver from LSU that just had so much potential and we were just waiting on him?
McMath.
Yeah, he's the Rachel McMath. Of the defense.
Talking about Fulton?
Yeah, Fulton is the Racy McMath of the defense. He has all the ability, all of the tangibles, well, most of the tangibles that you need to play that position, but he just doesn't show up. Or when he's hurt half the time, but then when he shows up, he doesn't show out. He gets showed out on. So, to me, he's the Racy McMath. Everybody keeps screaming, oh, he has his ability. He covered Jamar Chase and Jefferson in college, yada, 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 all this stuff. But the kid hadn't done anything in the NFL. Mm-hmm. So, maybe, just maybe, the experiment is over. But they can't bench him because Molden is hurt. They only got two or three healthy cornerbacks now. Mm-hmm. So, they can't bench him.
Yeah, but see, here's the problem. I mean, just watching him run – what did you say last week? He almost had a hamstring.
Yeah.
What'd
you say? Yeah. I don't hear people say I used to have
issue. If you have a hamstring issue, you have a hamstring issue. And I think that the reason why he can't get up to the second and third gear is because he's afraid he's going to tear that thing up like he did before. So, I mean, if you look at when he first got in the league, he had some decent speed. I mean, he did. But when you hurt a hamstring, you don't get that second gear. And that's why these wide receivers are running by him.
Well, he needs to do something because right now he hasn't proven worthy to be a starter. But they have no other choice. They have no choice. Who else are they going to put out there? Like you said, Trey Avery, he's just as bad. But at least maybe you can get him to play the type of defense you want to be played, meaning stay disciplined in what you do. Don't try to create a play when there's not a play to be created.
What do you think of the Titans only having two running backs today? Julius Chestnut was placed on IR during the week, and so the Titans have just Derrick Henry and Tajay Spears at running back.
Well, it tells you they have other problems at other positions, so they have to bring guys up, whether it be the offensive line, the secondary, or the receivers. We got to have, you know, we got to make active guys that you know, may have to help us.
Yeah.
I think they are fine with their running back position. You know, no one foresees, you know, Derrick Henry getting hurt or Tajay Spears. So we got to activate guys at other positions because we are down.
The Titans activated Shaim Carter, a defensive back, and Kevin Rader, a tight end from the practice squad. They'll revert back to the practice squad. Shaim Carter, I believe, will take the spot of Mike Brown, who was placed on IR earlier in the week, is more of a special teams type player.
Yeah, I don't know who that is.
But, you know, that's what they're looking at there in the secondary. Coming up next, Mike Vrabel's key to the game, as well as what the sports books are saying, and, of course, our game day predictions. We'll do all that and more live from Teddy's Tavern. And, again, Teddy's Tavern is our spot during the home games this season. Come on out, tailgate with us out here at Teddy's Tavern. Teddy's Tavern brunch and specialty Titans cocktails are available every Sunday from the opening until 2 o'clock. 2-for-1 mimosas and Bloody Marys from open until 2. And 2-for-1 draft beer all day every Sunday. That's right, home of the early and late happy hour every Sunday through Thursday from 4 to 6:30 and 10 o'clock until close, and they've got the best burger in town. Come try out these specialty Titans-themed cocktails during brunch, including the T-Rack Sack and Titan Water, as well for 2-for-1 mimosas and Bloody Marys until 2 o'clock. That's Teddy's Tavern across the street from Bridgestone Arena. Right here, it's the pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game. Ravens and Bengals today at noon with the kickoff, and the Titans are getting set. We are live out at Teddy's Tavern here on the award-winning pregame show. Can I just tell you something that's starting to bother me a little bit?
Go ahead.
That, you know, is a all these guys that are walking into the stadium that are trying to, like, you know, wear these, like, shirts that say, like, something funny or, like, oh, yeah, look at what I'm wearing as I walk into the – Ryan Tannehill, TD had a video, Ryan Tannehill walking in, white T-shirt, white jeans, good enough for me. All these other guys, they just showed Dorian Thompson-Robinson on TV, the quarterback for the Browns today, and he's wearing some kind of graphic T-shirt, something warming up on the field. Like, dude, get ready for the game.
I'm with you.
I'm with you, Jared, on that.
You.
I mean –
did you ever worry about what you were wearing to the game, or did you worry about the game?
We used to make fun of people in there.
Boy, my gear was so bad. That's why Derek looked at my gear was so bad.
Boy, we used to. But it was different back then. Yeah. We had to wear suits. We couldn't wear everything. But if, like, we would go out to practice on Saturday morning, go out to practice. And, you know, we couldn't go back home after. Well, we could, but a lot of guys just stayed in the building. So when you came back in for practice, your fit was laid out on the bench, like, so everybody could see.
Hey.
They would put your clothes out, put your shoes up. It was hilarious, man.
Hey, the funniest thing was Drew Bennett.
Oh, yeah. Oh, my goodness.
And I'm not exaggerating. It's like he pulled his shirt out of his pocket.
Yeah.
He would just put it on, and it'd be wrinkled.
Yeah, he didn't care.
Oh, he was hilarious.
He didn't care. He just – he'll wear the same thing he wore the night before.
And wouldn't care.
And wouldn't care.
That takes us to Mike Vrabel's key to the game. What are guys wearing to the game? No, I'm kidding. Mike Vrabel talks a lot about playing better and coaching better after every loss. This is what Mike Vrabel says the coaches need to do in order to coach better this week.
Well, trying to get everybody to understand the full concept of the play, you know, as we continue to grow and you know, work. It's about just understanding that, you know, there's an idea to the play, not just your job in particular, something that I've been harping on and trying to get to get through, you know, and understand that, you know, how do we get them to play faster and understand the overall concept of every play and not just maybe, you know, blocking this guy or why are we tossing the ball in this certain play or why do you have to protect the B gap versus pressure or something like that?
What do you guys make of that?
That doesn't make sense to me. Shouldn't you already know those principles before a game?
Yeah.
Shouldn't you already know those principles before the week of a game? These are principles that, you know, you've been reiterating through camp. This is why we do this. This is why we do that. If you still are preaching this to your team, I understand that, you know, coaches, you got to, you know, say certain things or reiterate certain things. But if that part, if you got to reiterate the importance of why we run this play, then something's wrong.
Or what you're supposed to do on the play to open it up for somebody else.
Something's wrong. There's a disconnect. Mm-hmm. And this may continue to be an ongoing problem. Again, if I got to reiterate to you why we running this play and why you need to block the A-gap, you need to block the A-gap because that's your job to block the A-gap. I shouldn't have to tell you anything else. So if I got to keep reiterating that to you, either I'm allowing you to do what you need to be do what you're doing, or I need to remove you from that spot, whether it be guard, tackle, center, whatever it is. If you're not doing what I'm asking you to do, and if I got to continue to repeat to you, this is why we're doing this, then you need not be playing.
Yeah, I mean, just listen to what Mike Vrabel was saying, and been coaching for a long time now. A lot of that was coach talk. That was really, really coach talk. But at the end of the day, just like what you said, Derek, he needs guys to do their job. I know we can point at the coaches, it's in that, but me as a coach, I got to make sure they're in the right spot. But they got to make sure they do their job. So all he's saying through all the coaches talk is everybody from offense, defense, special teams needs to do their job.
The Jacksonville Jaguars have gone final against Atlanta. They win 23-7. Jacksonville now at 2-2. Indianapolis leads the division at 2-1. They play today. I can't even remember who they play.
Sandy Chargers?
Indianapolis.
Who the Colts play today?
Rams.
The Rams, okay. So they play the Rams today. and then the Titans next week. So that'll be something we'll keep an eye on there. But the Titans could go to 2-2 and be right there with everybody else in the division with a victory today. Let's take a look at the final line so far. According to Vegas, they've got Cincinnati as a 2.5-point favorite, and the over-under is at 41 points. So they are not expecting a lot of points to be scored today. And I have to be honest with you, with the Titans, I'm not sure I'd ever make the over-under very high the way the offense is playing right now.
Yeah, it's just, and it's unfortunate. The offense hasn't been able to put up points regularly. You know, I think, what, they're averaging 16 points somewhere around there. That's not going to win you many games, especially if your defense as a whole isn't a top 10 defense. This is a defense that's ranked in the bottom half of the NFL. You got an offense that's ranked in the bottom half of the NFL. That's not a recipe for any, you know, for a consistently winning team. Something needs to change, and it needs to change today.
Yeah, I mean, they do need to score some points. Last week they scored 3 against the Cleveland Browns, the Saints 15. I mean, we already know that NFL, you got to score points to win in this league. And when you're scoring 3 and 15 and you're not getting, you know, 24 and above, that's why they're 1-2 right now.
So I've got a rule in radio to never get somebody in trouble for something that they haven't done. Mm. So, like, not to say, you know, oh, well, Tannehill, he's not going to win today and, you know, whatever. But if they don't win today, it's going to get ugly around here.
Of course it is.
I mean, after what happened last Sunday, it's starting to get a little ugly. If they don't win today, they start off 1-3. It's going to get a little ugly, guys.
And it's not a must-win from the standpoint of if they don't win, they're out of the playoffs.
Sure.
It's a must-win, I think, for the morale of everybody.
Yep.
You know, you don't want to leave this game, walk out of this game, and not pick up a victory. What does that do for the morale of the team moving forward? Because after that, the fan base is going to be damn near getting ready to jump into the Cumberland if you don't win today.
You know, I just keep – it's like the same song every week. It's the quarterback situation, the O-line issues, and the secondary. I mean, I think the fans and the media is quit. They're tired of hearing the same song. I mean, offensive line, quarterback. I mean, they're getting tired. So I think they need to come out of here with smoke out of their ears and make some plays with the running game and with the passing game.
All right, it's time for the game day predictions. Who wins today and why? And I just want you guys to know right now, you picked the Browns last week,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, I picked the Browns last week.
Derek's 2-1. Chris is 1-2.
I picked the Browns.
No, you didn't.
No, you did.
Chris is 1-2. I'm 0-3.
OFA. But you're still not out of it. Still not out of it.
Chris Sanders, who wins today and why?
I'm going with the Tennessee Titans. I'm going 24-17. And the reason why I'm going with them is because you look at Derrick Henry last week in the running game. He had 11 carries for 20 yards. And I think this is a prime game for him to put this offense on his back. I know they're struggling at the offensive line. I know they're struggling at the receivers. But we always say this all the time. Big players make big plays in big games. And this is where the type of game that Derrick Henry needs to step up.
Man, oh, man. If Treylon Burks was playing and Peter Skoronski was playing, I would say the Titans had an opportunity to win this game at home because I think there are plays to be made against this Cincinnati Bengals defense. But like I said last week, listen, that quarterback can have that type of game and just mess up everything you had planned.
True.
And I believe it will happen today. I believe Joe Burrow will be the Joe Burrow that we saw prior to the calf injury. I think from an offensive standpoint, it's going to be hard for the Tennessee Titans to stop that pass game and equally to stop that run game. I just look at this as a game of a team that's overmatched in a sense, and they can't get their problems fixed fast enough. So I'm picking the Cincinnati Bengals to win this 24-10.
I'm going to take the Bengals 24-13. I just think that the Titans aren't a good enough football team. And I think that the Bengals will be a good team. They'll be there at the end when all is said and done. So I'll take Cincinnati as well. Chris will never pick against the Titans. I mean, that's just how it's going to be. Special thanks to our friends here at Teddy's Tavern once again for having us. This is going to be our spot for every home game, just steps from the Ryman and Bridgestone Arena and a couple of blocks from the pedestrian bridge. Teddy's Tavern is where you want to be for pregame for all the hottest events in Nashville, not just the Titans. Yeah. This has been the award-winning pregame show on 102.5, 106.3 The Game.
Peace. Good job, fellas.